with Mareek and the Doctor on Triple J.
Having trouble with your thingamajig? Can't get the doovie watsy to interface with the clickety bit? Given up all hope of the digital wingwong working? Yeah, well, we hear your pain, Australia. So now please welcome the only man in the world who can simultaneously program the set-top hoozit, reformat the doovalacky, and upload the whatchamacallit in three different languages. It's Paul Verhoeven in Nerds of a Feather.
That's right, we are joined once again by the lovely Paul Verhoeven. How are you, sir?
I'm fantastic, and I'm also surrounded by you guys, so I feel a little
the
bit...
The little people.
Yeah.
You're kind of like Gulliver, and we are just throwing little ropes over your sleeping body.
Yeah, you're big for a nerd.
That's kind of hot. That's a weird Gulliver. I've got a Gulliver fetish.
A weird S&M kind of... Well, Gulliver was the original S&M dude.
For God's sake.
Well, so, S&M and mixing S&M and midgets.
That's obscure. I've got some advice to ask for you guys. I'm going to a cosplay this weekend. Cosplay is like where anime fans get dressed up in character and do stuff on stage, right?
Wow.
So what I thought I'd
so
do
not
is...
not nerdy at all.
Well, not at all, but I thought I'd go as the beetle from Kafka's Metamorphosis and trip over in the foyer and just not be able to get up the entire time. Is that too obscure for a...
A little.
Anyway, yeah.
You'd have trouble like, having the extra two legs attached.
Yeah.
Well, keeping them up in the air.
Just paper mache, I
think. Now, Verhoeven, you actually texted me, I can't remember if it was last week or the week before, and you said in the text, the voiceover guy died with an exclamation mark.
Which one?
I have no idea what you were talking about.
You know the... Well,
not Don Blackman.
To be fair, I was heavily drunk at the time, but I was really distraught because you know the guy who goes, in a land before time.
Yeah, the American guy who does all the voiceovers.
Yeah, Don LaFontaine, he died.
No.
Yeah.
But who's going to be doing the movies?
Who knows?
Who's going to do his eulogy?
Well, I know three people that
surely
are competing for the gig at the moment.
His eulogy.
Exactly.
He did all the voiceovers.
Everything. Like, pretty much everything. But you know...
He wasn't that old though, was he?
No, he was... Well, he was born in 1940, so you know.
Yeah, 68. Yeah, 68,
not that old. And he had a young
wife.
What
did he die from? His voice box just gave out.
It exploded, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. He dropped down too low.
He lined up 30 or 40 megaphones and the feedback killed him. But no, see, I had a theory as to how he died. If this is too soon, let me know.
Is this in bad taste?
Quite possibly.
Yeah, okay.
So he was referred to as the voice of God by friends and relatives. So my theory is that he would use the voice of God in bed and his wife proved he didn't exist. And so is that...
You can't be the voice of God if your wife's an atheist.
Exactly, yeah. Yeah. His wife was Nietzsche, apparently. I get a bit weird when I grieve, guys. Sorry.
Okay.
Yeah, my second story is, and I thought you guys would like this, are any of you guys... Did any of you guys have a crush on Velma from Scooby-Doo when you were younger?
Which one was she, the nerd one or the hot one?
Hot indie nerd.
Yeah, the dark hair and the glasses.
Yeah.
Right.
Amelia, our producer, is not a fan of Scooby-Doo. We were chatting
really?
About this just the other day, as a matter of fact.
Yeah. Yeah. So he does the voices for Shaq, for Scooby.
John LaFontaine.
No, it's not. But anyway, sorry,
the voice
bring
of Scooby
on.
Died. Well, basically... there was a Paris in court in Paris last week. There was a murder mystery. Sorry, a murder, just a murder. Mm-hmm. And they had to call in this dog called Scooby because the dog's owner was found hanging from her apartment from like the rafters in her. And they thought it was the relatives thought it was wasn't suicide. They thought it was actually murder. But to be fair, the house was next to a haunted amusement park, right? So
I knew you were going to say something really poor taste.
It's like
I actually
libs.
Physically braced myself then waiting for it.
But the thing is, they actually brought this dog into court and everyone was a bit confused. Mm. So they kind of brought it up to the witness and it started barking furiously, right? At which point I'm assuming they gave it a Scooby snack. But let's call the witness Mr. Carruthers and let's call the vet who brought the dog in, I don't know, Shaggy. So Shaggy brings Scooby up to Mr. Carruthers and Scooby starts freaking out, right? The guy was found guilty. And
what, from the dog's evidence?
Well, not just the dog's evidence, but let's say it was because of the dog's evidence. Let's also assume that the judge in question was, you know, batshit crazy, because that's just so French.
Now, at which point did Mr. Carruthers say Anna would have got away with it too if it wasn't
those
you pesky little kids?
Yeah, the judge runs over and pulls his mask off, and, you know, his zombie mask, which should have been just a dead giveaway. Now, the biggest piece of news, which you guys mentioned before, was the freaking Hadron Collider,
yeah,
right?
So this is the $9 billion tunnel that flies subatomic particles towards each other at very high velocity.
Like 100,000 kilometres an hour. Yeah. It's 27 kilometres long.
And a lot of doomsdayers were saying that as soon as they turned it on and actually started colliding the particles, that it would start off a chain reaction and that would be the end of the world.
Exactly, just like when, you know, Luke shoots that thing into the middle of the Death Star and, you know, the...
It's a little bit like the Cross City Tunnel in Sydney, except, like, sped up.
Mm.
Exactly, to temperatures of the sun, but basically it's 27 kilometres long and they've turned it on and... It reminds me of the time when I was doing when I was at a science fair and I tried to blow up a neutron star in a fridge. Only I didn't because that would be insane, right? Because apparently this is just like, if you recall a few months ago, I was talking to you guys about two Hawaiian litigators who were like, guys, this isn't safe. And everyone's like, shut up, you crazy Hawaiians. You know, go back to doing whatever Hawaiians do. And anyway, it broke. It broke last week.
Oh, really?
It broke down.
The collider?
Yeah.
Really?
It didn't just...
Do they need new batteries or...?
Well, that's the thing. The magnets failed. They're holding this thing shut with magnets. You know what they should have made it out of, that material? You know in the new Indiana Jones film when he got into the fridge and the atomic bomb went off?
That's right.
Just make it... It should have just been made out of fridges.
They should have used Hollywood tape. They should have used a bit of boob tape to wrap up...
Should have been made out of fridges and tip tape. Well, we're really kicking goals.
Paul Verhoeven is in for Nerds of a Feather this morning. He's going to hang around for a little while if you can. Quarter after eight.
Kaiser Chiefs on Triple J from a brand new album, Off With Their Heads, which you'll hear first on October the 18th or before. Never miss a beat.
Heading back to the red carpet very soon, but before that, some nerdy facts from your favourite nerdy fan, Mr. Paul Verhoeven.
So we were just talking about how the Hadron Collider, as you like to call it, has broken.
Yes, and the chamber was flooded. This is a 27-kilometre chamber, mind you, was flooded with helium. So what I was going to do is bring in a helium balloon and do a funny voice. Have you ever tried to find helium at 6 a.m?
Yeah, quite a bit, pretty much every morning.
Yeah.
Cool. Especially after the Brownlow.
Yeah.
Let's go back
That's
to my place.
That's what Paul Medhurst was doing, wandering in the streets this morning looking for a helium
for
balloon.
Helium, yeah.
I read that bread actually contains trace amount of helium, so I ate like 16 baguettes before I got here. I am not
Your
feeling good.
Your voice does sound amusing, though.
Hey!
What else have you got
We
for
have
us?
On our list here who you're going to call.
Yes, and the answer, it's a call and response.
Ghostbusters.
There you go. Yeah, Ghostbusters 3 is
We were just talking about Back to the Future because we had Crispin Glover on the show before. So in the same vein, now we're in Ghostbusters territory.
Hasn't there been a Ghostbusters 3 already?
No. Well, there was Only a Ghostbusters 1 and 2, and 2 was horrible. But Ghostbusters 3 is coming out. Columbia have hired the screenwriters Lee Eisenberg and Gene Stupinski. Now they write The American Office, which means the Ghostbusters isn't going to be as good as the British Ghostbusters, of course. When I was a kid, my main memory of Ghostbusters, we've all got kind of childhood stories, well, I assume we do, the guy who vacuumed our school, our primary school, had one of those portable vacuum cleaners attached to his back, and he wore a jumpsuit, and kids went apeshit for this guy. Like, he had fans. And then, like, one year, we clicked over to the era of Ninja Turtles, and this guy was so distraught, like, no one wanted to talk to him. So I was, like, the sympathy guy. I was like, hey, man, you look great.
So he didn't doctor his vacuum cleaner to look a bit more like a turtle on his back.
Just make it into a shell. Yeah. What a lazy bastard. Yeah, basically. But Ivan Reitman is directing it, and he did the first two. But to be fair, he also directed Evolution, which nobody saw because it was crap.
And so, Kindergarten Cop.
Yeah. And while we're on Hollywood, they cancelled Tintin.
Yeah, we heard that $130 million apparently is too much to make a 3D version of Kevin Rudd.
I'm so pissed. just film him and, you know, just do some stop-motion animation. I really was so excited.
But Ghostbusters 3 is going to have Dan Aykroyd, Bill Murray.
Ivan Reitman, and the bike guy.
Right, you don't know his name.
Ernie Hudson.
Right.
Well, IMDb, thank you.
Yes.
Now, the next topic I wanted to talk about is kind of close to my heart and very frustrating. A woman is being paid $100,000, which is worth, what, 15 Australian dollars at the moment, to do a research project on World of Warcraft. Yeah. That lazy
bitch. How do you research World of Warcraft?
Pretty much you play it. The frustrating thing is I research it for free, essentially. Everyone who plays it invests way too much time in it. The thing is, all that gives me is this weird habit. I become a gaming dad. So we're walking around, I'm like, hey, guys, look at that spot. That's where Arthas went to unlock the gates to the castle, but then he couldn't find his keys. And then he was like, they're in the lake. And they're like, get in the lake. And I go on these diatribes, and I make people pan up and look at the scenery, and my friends hate me for it, right? My only qualm is, how did she milk $100,000 for this? Like, what do you need $100,000 for? The game costs $30, subscription costs $15 a month, and then you've got, like, some Jolt Cola, and then you've got... Unless she's buying Chinese gold farmers, like, and bringing them across.
Do you know what name she's going to have in the game? Like, surely you could all just gang up on her and find out exactly what she's spending her money
on. Yeah, extort some money from her.
Probably, but I figured out, I actually went through and figured out that the conversion rate for US currency to WoW gold is almost even. Yeah, which would mean she's like as rich as an astronaut. Incidentally, this is a bit of trivia, I found out that astronauts receive martial arts training.
What for?
You tell me.
Okay,
Paul Ninja aliens.
Well, Paul Verhoeven is in for Nerds of a Feather. The final little installment for us is a clock.
Yes.
What do you mean?
The corpus clock. Stephen Hawking just unveiled a new surreal clock, which is called the Time Eater, right? So it's not something you want hanging in your kid's room, but basically it's got this massive grasshopper on top of it that actually eats time. So it kind of blinks and twitches and feeds the clock through, and it makes eerie grinding noises. It's starting to sound like a Cronenberg film. Like, it's really bizarre. So the best feature is that it's only accurate once every 5 minutes.
Okay.
Right. Yeah.
What's the point of it?
That's a great feature.
It's very conceptual, but look, it costs...
Has it got dual time in case you're travelling interstate?
It's just... It's weird. I don't understand it. Like, you can't read it. It's not made to be, like, tangible, but basically the guy who invented it, this Taylor guy, invested 5 years, £1 million, 200 people, engineers, sculptors, scientists, jewellers, and get this... to actually make the metal casing, a secret military institute in Holland exploded a thin sheet of stainless steel under the ocean. This isn't a clock. This is the One Ring. This is a freaking doomsday device. I can only assume he designed it from inside his volcano lair.
So, how does Stephen Hawking get into a volcano lair?
When do we get to see it?
It's been unveiled.
Is it?
I can only assume that there's going to be a small fob size. You can just whip out and, you know, if you can look at it.
I'm pretty sure the
crying,
new iPhone comes with the time meter function.
With
on
a time meter clock, yeah.
Paul Verhoeven, as always, great catching up with you, mate.
Thanks, guys. Thank
Watch out for those ninja aliens.
Robbie, Marie, and the Doctor. Weekday mornings from 6 on Triple J.